y'all. Here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and of course you Giants fans on a very, very exciting afternoon as players report today. That's what, look at your, you've got a huge smile on your face.
It is time. It is Christmas morning. Let's unwrap those gifts, baby.
You're so funny. So we have a very special guest who's going to be joining us just in a hot second, but really quick, let's kind of break down. So I just came out of the lunchroom. I saw Eli there with Zach Diassi. He's breaking bread, of course, with him and Josh Brown. Who else? Have you seen anybody else at the facility today?
A whole bunch of guys already. Beeson, a couple of the linemen. I saw Jeff Schwartz. Guys have been coming in all morning. They're coming in. They're checking in. They're getting their physicals, getting their weight all checked out. They got conditioning drills in a couple of hours, team meetings, of course. Then they got the gassers coming up later, and then we'll get a chance to talk to them. But the first practice, remember, folks, is actually tomorrow. So
right.
Don't come out here to the facility today.
I mean, it's the best way to describe it, right, is that, like, today's the first day, like, of school, right? You come in, you get your locker, you go to homeroom.
There you go.
Right? Like, you kind of, like, you get a feel for, you know, how this training camp is really going to operate. But without further ado, let's bring in somebody who's actually experienced it in the NFL, and that's wide receiver Dominic Hixon, of course, former wide receiver for the Giants. Dominic, we had Kevin Booth on the other day, and I'll say the same thing, man. You are missed around these parts. It's great to have you on air with us. Dominic?
Guys, and I definitely miss playing and being a New York Giant for sure.
Yeah, so as I was kind of explaining to a lot of our viewers out there and listeners who are listening on the app, kind of share with us, what is today like? I mean, this is the first day players arrive. I'm sure that there's some butterflies, but also some excitement, right?
Right. I mean, it's like the first day of school. I mean, everybody's coming in, and, you know, you're excited. I mean, this is one of those deals where every team has an opportunity, you know, to play for a Super Bowl, I guess. So it's excitement. You know, everybody's eager to get going, and I used to tell the rookies that go ahead and take this in because this is the best you'll feel to the end of the season.
Well, now tell me this, Dominic. You played in this league for a whole host of years. How does the opening day of training camp change from the time you're a rookie in the NFL and you come to one of these for the first time, and then maybe a few years later it becomes a little more routine? And I'll never say that you're bored with it, but like we had Kevin Booth on the other day, and you know what he said? This is like a painful time because you got to leave your family, you got to leave the summer activities, because
sure.
Now you got to get ready. So where does that line change? What's the difference for you over the years?
Man, I think expectations and what's expected of you, and you know, coming in as a rookie, you really don't know, you know, maybe the pace of practice or how things are going to go, or even the preseason games. But you know, after your first, you know, year or two, you kind of get used to it, and you have a better understanding. Also, what you need to do for training to get prepared. A lot of young guys say, well, you know, what can I do to get prepared for training camp? And unfortunately, nothing but practice. So. I think, you know, after some years, you'll learn that what you need and, you know, what you have to do to get ready.
All right. Again, Dominic Hixon joining myself and Paul Zatino here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Obviously, we want to talk to you in depth at the wide receiver position. Odell Beckham Jr., I've never seen an athlete across the board in any profession whose star has risen so quickly than his. Talk about what you think year two is going to be for him. I mean, a very busy offseason. Yes, he knows this offense even better coming into this year, but I do believe that defenses are going to be scheming for him even more so than last year. What are your expectations for Odell Beckham Jr. this season?
Man, I expect him to have even a bigger year than he did last year, you know, and I pray for him and, you know, all the Giants, you know, for their health, and hopefully he can stay healthy the whole year. And, you know, I can't wait to see Vic come back, you know, to see what he has to offer. And, you know, I know he's been working hard, been following him on his Instagram, doing all that, so I know he's been putting in work. And it's one of those deals where, you know, the Giants have always had a, you know, great group of receivers, and when one guy goes down, another one steps up. So I know they got guys that's waiting in the wing, you know, and I'm about to say it's not only what one guy can do, but if you got three or four guys who can really play, I mean, that just, you know, that's going to play into Eli's hands, and, you know, he'll have a another Pro Bowl year.
Dominic, you mentioned Victor Cruz just a minute ago, and we know he's coming off of that tendon tear, and he's really in uncharted territory. No NFL receiver has ever come back to full strength or even near full strength after the injury he suffered. But, of course, to this point, his rehab has gone very, very well. You suffered horrible ACL injuries and come back from that and had even better numbers than when before you got hurt. Can you, even for a minute, put yourself inside Victor's head and tell us a little bit about what an injured receiver goes through mentally and physically to come back?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a tough place to be, especially with what Vic did before he got injured, you know, Pro Bowl, you know, how he kind of came on the scene and just exploded. And so, obviously, everyone has those same expectations for him to come back. So, one thing, you know, if it, anything I could tell him is just take your time. You know, just be smart with it. If you feel pain, you know, back off. Especially with practice and different things like that, you just got to be smart, because the competitive nature is that you always want to be out there and you always want to play and you always want to practice. But, you know, unfortunately, it's one of those deals that with an injury like that, the more time you can give it to heal, you know, the better he's going to end up being. But like I said, I expect him to come back and be at full strength. And also, I said the Giants have a great training staff who they communicate with you, and I feel like they're one of the few teams that if you are injured and you are hurt, they're not going to put you out there on the field. They're going to go ahead and do the right thing and let you, you know, sit out and do whatever's needed to heal up.
Dominic, when coming back from a catastrophic injury, when does that threshold occur? Is it the first practice? Is it the first game? Is it the first hit? When do you really know that you're back, so to speak?
That's a great question. I think for everybody it's a little different. For me, it was in training camp. I had caught a pass over Prince. I hope he's hearing this. And it was one of those deals. He had knocked me down. I got back up, held on to the ball, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be all right. And so for me, it was that. For other people, it may be in a preseason game or maybe in a regular season game. But it's just getting out there and kind of getting up from that first hit or that first bump, or even being in the same situation when you did tear to get hurt, to know that you could bounce back from it and, you know, kind of get that mental block out your head.
You know, I find it interesting, you know, I've had ACL surgeries. You have as well. You know, we have a history and some kind of a track record of players who've come back from ACL, MCL, meniscus. But, I mean, do you know of any other wide receiver that's come back from a tendon tear? Dominic, I've been racking my brain, and I don't. I do believe that there's been, like, some defensive players, but not an offensive player. My biggest thing for Victor Cruz, because he's running phenomenal ghost routes. Even Prince came out and said that he looks even better than he was before the injury. My biggest thing, especially going into training camp, is when, you know, when the boys put on the pads and they become men and you have that physicality off the line of scrimmage, right? Is Victor going to be able to get that separation that we know he can do oh so very well to help Eli get that ball to him in tight situations? That's going to be the biggest concern for me. What would be the biggest concern for you? And again, do you feel that, do you know of any other wide receivers who've come back from patella tears?
Well, you know what, not from patella tears, but I remember it was my second year, I believe, in Denver when Brandon Stokely, he was coming back from an Achilles injury. And, you know, and everybody said, oh, he's, you know, he was older at that time. They said, you know, is he going to be just as quick, just as fast? And the deal is that as the older you get as a receiver, and I remember Monty Toomer telling me this, is that you use less of your speed, less of your athleticism, and more of your brain. And so it's one of those deals where Vic's been in so many different situations that he doesn't have to out-athlete people anymore. He can get them on a mental level and know that, hey, well, if I line this guy up this way, if I see a weakness, and from the film study he does, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to end up getting that separation. And like I said, this is one of those deals where he just has to listen to his body. And, you know, in training camp, if this feels a little sore one day, you know, to know that he has to back off it. And but like I said, I don't want to put too much pressure on him, because I think everyone else, you know, like I said, they're waiting for that huge season, of, you know, which he is going to have. But, you know, to have fun, enjoy, and don't mentally, you know, shut yourself out. And, you know, just go out there and have fun. I mean, he's going to do his thing, no doubt about it.
Let me ask you, Dominic, about Eli Manning, who 2 years ago had an interception-plagued season. He would tell you he was very, very disappointed. But then last year comes back in the first year of the Ben McAdoo offense and lights it up. I mean, I don't know how much you were able to follow the team last year because you were still, you know, in the league. What do you see from Eli in year two of this West Coast attack?
I tell people he is a student of the game. I mean, he's going to learn the ins and outs of the offense. He knows his strengths and weaknesses. And so, I mean, he's just a student. He's always studying, always looking to get better. So for him to have a bounce-back season was no surprise for me. And it's one of those deals where I'm actually looking forward to picking him up on my fantasy league because he's going to have an even bigger year this year. Because, I mean, he's a student of the game. He's a competitor. There's a reason, you know, he has two Super Bowl rings. And, I mean, it's one of those deals where the expectation for him this year should be even greater just because, like I said, student of the game. I'm pretty sure he sat down with the OC, you know, throughout the off season and, you know, worked a little kinks out, fine-tuned things. But, like I said, he's a student, man. And it's one of those deals where that's where he really separates himself from other quarterbacks.
You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of talk right now, and I love that you play fantasy football, Dominic. I love it. I think people would be surprised how many professional football players do play fantasy football. But, you know, a lot of the experts and the analysts have Eli Manning ranked like 12, 15. And I think that's way too low. So you're talking about Eli Manning being like a last kind of tier quarterback that would be drafted in a team of 12, let alone maybe a QB2. And I'm with you. I think statistically, one of these days I'm going to be able to pronounce it the first time around.
Okay.
I do believe he's going to have the best year of his career. I think with the talent that's here and Shane Vereen bringing in a running back who excels in the passing game, I'm excited about it. I'm with you. I would rank Eli even higher. I'd say Eli is more, I'd rank him more of as a 7, 8, 9 quarterback in fantasy this year. I know people might be saying I'm nuts, but I really do believe it. I'm with you.
Yeah, and the deal is I think some people mistake Eli's quietness and, you know, his meekness just, you know, for not having confidence. But it's one of those deals. Like I said, I done heard his you know, speeches in the locker room, and then, you know, played years with him, so I know what he's going to bring to the table. So that's fine. Everybody can sleep on him, and you know, let me go ahead and get him for cheap.
I love
hey,
it.
Hey, Dominic, I got to ask you about the defensive backs on this team because these are guys that you would work against in practice and trying to make them better. The Giants have DRC and Prince Amukamara on the corners. We all know what they bring to the table. They're veterans who have a proven track record. But right now, the Giants are very thin and young at safety. They've got a rookie in Landon Collins. They've got a second-year player in Nat Burhey who has barely played. If you were a veteran opposing wide receiver going up against this Giants secondary, what are the things that you'd be looking for as you try to exploit the two young safeties on the field?
You know what? I'd be curious to see what kind of coverage they're going to run. You know, you got two, like you said, proven corners. So are you going to, is it going to be more one-on-one, you know, deep third type deal? Or are you going to, you know, have cover two man? You know, I'm curious to see what they'll run just because of their safety. But, you know, it's one of those deals, too, that, you know, you never hear about people unless they get their opportunity. So this is a huge opportunity for them. And I'm sure that from what I hear about them and their competitive nature is that they were working their tails off and probably next to Eli in the film room, you know, trying to see what's what just to have this opportunity to take advantage of it.
Dominic,
so I'm curious to see what they're going to, you know, bring to the table.
Dominic Hixon joining myself and Paul Dottino here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on this Thursday afternoon where Giants players arrive today to the facility. First practices tomorrow. Dominic, one question that Paul and I talk about often is, who's the one player you want to see have a really big leap this season? Defensively, I've said DeMontre Moore, and I really think with what's happened with JPP, this really could be his opportunity to shine. On the offensive side of the ball, for me, it's Reuben Randle. Second-round pick, we've seen bits and pieces. We've seen glimpses. We've seen highs. We've seen lows. I want to see a lot more consistency, and I think with a lot of defenses focusing on Vic and focusing on Odell, I think he's going to have a ton of opportunity this season. Your thoughts on Reuben Randle? What are your expectations for him? And based on his game and his play and what you've seen and what you know, what do you feel he needed to do in this offseason to get better, improve, and be the wide receiver that I think a lot of us believe he is?
Man, and I think you hit it right on the head, is that Reuben can be the X factor for this offense. When they want to double everyone else and kind of have him one-on-one, he's proven that he can win. He just, like you said, got to be more consistent. And, I'm hoping that his work ethic is picked up. And like I said, because he has all the talent in the world. I mean, that's one thing. And like I said, he can go out there and he can beat people one-on-one, and he can beat the number one corners one-on-one. And so if you got three receivers who can do that with Odell, Vic, and Reuben, I mean, that's a recipe right there for a lot of success in the offense and, hopefully another Super Bowl win.
Dominic Hixon, when I say that name, I don't just think wide receiver. I think special teams, and I know you appreciate that because you were real good at it, Dominic. And quite frankly, probably the last multidimensional special teams threat this team has had. They have still yet to replace you. Now, Dwayne Harris comes over from the Cowboys, and he's a similar player to what your capabilities were on specials. Does it all. Gunner, return guy. How much do you know about him? What can he add to this team as a fellow special teamer who played the position so well? And what would you do to tell some of these young receivers, if you were still here, on the back end of the depth chart, to tell them, hey, you know what? If you kick butt on specials, you're going to get a chance to play on Sunday.
For sure. I appreciate the compliment, Paul. And it's one of those deals that if you're not a number one or two, you definitely need to be in the special teams room and need to get on the depth chart. I say use your speed and show them that, wide receivers can tackle. And as far as Harris, I watched him. He's extremely explosive. And the one thing that I just want to say for all the guys that blocked for me out there, thank you. Because you're nothing without the guys blocking for you. Those other 10 guys, busting their tail and kind of being a battering ram and taking the bullet for you. It's one of those deals where, they mean just as much as you do, running the football. So, thank you to those guys. And, hopefully they can put 10 guys around them that take it personal and that know that's how they, they're going to provide for their families by blocking and, working on special teams, kind of be that special team guru. And I know Zach Diasi, I know he got a couple guys, up his sleeve that he's going to have lined up to do some good blocking.
Dominic, before we let you go, a few things. Number one, we have a tweet from Ben who's watching. He says it's impossible not to like Hixon. Here's a guy that worked and worked and worked. They don't make guys with hearts that big often.
Man, I appreciate that, man. I'm just extremely blessed. Man, thanks, Ben.
And also, before I let you go, I just I know that you are very, very vocal about breast cancer survivors, and you do a lot for breast cancer research because your mom dealt with it. And so is there, you want to throw out kind of any foundation that you oversee or anything in that regard to kind of help beat breast cancer?
Yes, I'm about to say definitely support breast cancer. And my mom's actually going through it again right now. Bless her heart. And, if you just, anybody out there, just pray for my mom and, that she beats it again. And, it's a terrible disease. And, we need to find a cure because a lot of great people, are suffering from it.
Yeah, I know that the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, where a lot of the players wear pink, is very special for you. So all our prayers to you and your family and your mom. And we thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Dominic.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Dominic,
appreciate you guys. Thank
great,
you.
Great to talk to you. And by the way, while the rest of these guys are busting their butts for these gassers, I know you're going to be in that fishing boat, aren't you?
Well, I got my son with me right now, but fishing is coming up. We're getting prepped up for a couple tournaments.
Good to talk to you, my friend.
All right, good to talk to you.
What a great guy.
Awesome.
I mean,
really, really great guy.
Obviously, we have him on today. We had Kevin Booth on Tuesday. Just, it just goes to show you, the character of the guys that the Giants do go out either draft or bring in through free agency is in my opinion, bar none.
And, the thing about it is so many folks take that for granted, and it's not until sometimes guys like that leave a team, they retire, they're hurt, whatever the case may be, that you really find out, wow, there is a void in the locker room. And guys like Booth and Hixon are great examples. Richie Seibert was one. Sean O'Hara's another. These kinds of guys don't come along every 5 minutes. And when you get them, they can really make a difference inside that huddle, on the field, in the locker room, at practice. Certainly make our jobs a lot easier. Let's not kid ourselves, Anita. We're selfish, too. We like to get along with the players, and it's great talking to guys like that.
Yeah, absolutely, that you actually can speak to, interview, get a good soundbite from. We're going to pick it up with your phone calls. 201-939-4513 is the phone number, 201-939-4513. Also, as you can see, I'm monitoring Twitter throughout the show, hashtag Giants Chat. Paul Dottino and myself with you until 1 o'clock, and then I believe Tom Coughlin is going to address the media, what, 4:40 today?
Yeah, later on, I believe Coordinator John Maurer will talk to the media as well as Coach Coughlin, and then several of the players. And then tomorrow, again, is the first practice if you folks want to come out and watch.
So let's head right out to our phone calls. And I apologize if I'm mispronouncing this, but Yussi calling in from New York City. Is that correct?
Yes.
Line two?
Yes, you got it right.
Fantastic. Welcome in.
Good
Hi.
Afternoon. First thing, I'm afraid of public speaking, so I don't call often. I love the show, but I
well,
wanted to
talk
about something that people not addressing. Are you guys hearing me?
Sure.
Yes, of course.
It's misdirections and how efficient the offense should be. Because they talk about the running game, how often they're going to run the ball or they're going to pass the ball to get short gains. But if you could actually get some false steps on the defense and leading them one direction to the other makes a huge difference how much yards you're going to gain, you know, how efficient the offense should be.
Well, there are two things about a misdirection, and I'll let you finish in just a second. The first thing is, you have to make the opposing defense respect what you are going to do with the ball. If they don't respect that you can, for example, run left or run right, then the misdirection's not going to work because they won't react to your first movement. So that's the first thing. You must establish an ability to get it done one way so that they respect it and can get fooled by the misdirection. That's the first thing you got to keep in mind. The second thing you got to keep in mind is that you have to have the kind of athleticism and speed amongst your players, specifically in this case the offensive line, where you got to be able to get your tackle out there on the edge, you got to be able to get your tight end blocking, you got to be able to get your center or your guard to come out and pull if you're going to run a misdirection. You know, it requires some pretty intricate footwork to do something like that. So those are the two things that kind of have to happen for you to implement what you're talking about.
Okay, I used to play linebacker, so I used to read the A and B gaps.
Sure.
And I used to spot the location of what direction they're going to be by the way the offense is set up.
Okay, but, so when yeah, you read your keys.
Some offensive
sure.
linemen get details on how, what direction or what kind of play is going to be. And also the quarterbacks. And the way their hips is moving or the way they look at a running back or mm-hmm. they look at the corner from each side. If they're not spotting the safety, if they're going deep, that means it's probably going to be a short throw to a wide receiver. Or if they actually don't look at the safety, at the I'm getting kind of nervous.
No, what you're talking about,
you're doing fine.
On one direction, they mm-hmm. actually go to a shorter running play.
Sure.
All right.
They call that reading your keys, and that's great because, you know, when an
Thank you
used
for
to
the phone call, by the way, and really appreciate you calling in.
You know, when Anita used to come up to the line and she'd start shaking a little bit, you knew she was going to drop back into a five-step drop and unload a long one.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
the thing with Eli, not Anita, but Eli Manning, I remember one time there was a game on TV, I believe it's a Monday night or a Sunday night game, and they called Omaha, and they used to, once they called Omaha,
sure.
everybody knew the play was going to be snapped. So the defense had an advantage on that. I'm glad they went to the Ben McAdoo system because they're no longer actually anticipating what direction is the play is going to be run or what snap is going to be, what snap count is going to be run.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's okay. Again, thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. We need to move on to more calls. So
okay.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you very much. he's so nervous to call in.
I know,
but I thought he did a great job.
He did.
Here's a tweet from SNF Mikey. Wants to know, how serious is the Jake Long communication and possible signing with the Giants?
Well, this is a guy who is coming off a significant knee injury, the second one to his right knee last fall. And so he's been trying to rehab it and get it ready. Now, he's on a tour right now, visited Atlanta. You know, Giants been mentioned, Denver today. The key is, A, can he pass the physical? Can any of the medical staffs who get a look at him feel confident that he can hold up? And then, of course, now you get down to numbers. And what kind of deal do you need? Can we make this thing work? Blah, 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 blah. A lot of factors go into that. But until he signs with somebody else, I would say the door is still open and he's still in play. So let's just see how it goes.
201-939-4513. We continue with our calls. We go to line 4. Marco calling in from Connecticut. Marco, welcome on board.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi.
Good afternoon, actually.
Great.
Yeah. Hey, Dominic Hixon, you know, I agree, Anita. What a great guy and such a solid player. You know, the team brings in good guys, and I wonder that sometimes when they're looking at the draft or free agents and sometimes how much risk management goes into their assessment of players, because that's got to mean something. At the end of the day, if they could trust somebody on and off the field, how it how it could lead to, you know, what the results show as far as wins and losses, and keeping guys on the field, and maybe looking at other teams around the league and maybe where that has fallen off for them. I mean, I don't want to get off on a big tangent, but I trust, you know, the ownership, and I've loved this week with John Mara and Tom Coughlin. I have to say their stance and their honesty on the JPP situation. You know, they're just speaking from the heart, and you know, and if they're disappointed, they just come out and say they're disappointed. I really like that. And, you know, this New England situation, these guys, they take a stance and then they just kick the media right out and they don't want to elaborate on things. And you don't get that from the Giants. I got a question though. Earlier this week, you guys had Art Stapleton on, and that was a really great interview. And Paul, when Art was asked about when he thinks JPP is going to show up, I forgot the exact date. I think he said October, and maybe they'll talk a little bit in August. You said that you weren't as optimistic, and I was curious why you weren't as optimistic as Art was.
Art's projection, and thanks for the call, was that JPP would be on the field playing against Buffalo on October 4th. That's what his projection was. I don't think he has any substance behind that. I think he pretty much said that. We're all taking a shot in the dark here. I just don't feel, based on the way things have gone to this point and how you know, things have gone in Florida with the lack of communication, I just don't think that that's a realistic thing to talk about. And especially if he's had a significant hand injury, he's got to have to lift weights if he's going to get back on the field. You can't expect a guy who hasn't lifted a lot of weights over the course of a couple of weeks, you know, or a couple of months to suddenly just go back out onto the field. So it's pointless to even talk about the player, and I'm not going to do it anymore until we hear something substantial. But I would be shocked if he's on the field by October 4th, like Art suggested.
But in all honesty, Paul, I mean, no one's even seen him.
No.
You know, there's reports out there in regard to how significant this injury is, but nobody really knows.
So, I know this.
I love Art to death. He's fantastic. But how can you assess and assume when JPP is going to be back on the field when nobody even knows, in all honesty, the extent of the injury?
Right. I mean, it's crazy to speculate. You know, my pessimism is strictly based on the fact that I know the kind of weight training that these guys have to do and how many weeks it takes to get their upper bodies and their arms and everything else into the proper strength zone to be able to play in the National Football League. And I'm just assuming that based on the serious hand injury that we've heard about, that he's not going to be lifting weights for quite a while yet. And when he starts doing it, it's going to take him a while because of the atrophy that he hasn't been able to lift weights with. I just don't see a quick comeback here. But that's just me. And again, I'm just trying to piece together some logic in a dark room. So I really don't want to talk about it much more.
201-939-4513, the phone number you want to get in on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you on a day that players do report. We've seen many of them throughout the facility this morning. Tomorrow will be the first practice. What time is practice?
Tomorrow's practice is at 2:30.
2:30. Are you hosting tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow. By the way, folks, big heads up. The show moves to 12:30 beginning tomorrow, because media avails are from 11:15 to 12:15, and that would not work well for anybody here. We want to make sure we get you all the information that the players and coaches talk about. So once media avails end at 12:15, John and I believe are going to be on tomorrow. We'll hustle in here, and we'll get the show up and running at 12:30. We'll still give you an hour, but we're going to start at 12:30, so at least we can bring you some of the flavor about what's going on here.
Also, you guys are going to be broadcasting on Saturday and Sunday as well, right?
We're going to be doing Saturday and Sunday for the first time ever. Big Blue Kickoff Live is going to have a weekend show just for this weekend. John and I are both going to be here, and we will do Saturday 12:30, Sunday 12:30, 1 hour apiece. Weekend special just to kick off the training camp opening. So, you know, there's no reason to go anywhere else.
Fantastic. Ooh,
good stuff.
Exciting, exciting. Here's some tweets for you. You can also tweet us, hashtag Giants Chat. Can't be at camp to watch myself, but which position battles do you and Paul think will be the most interesting / vital? Well, right off the bat, I've got to say that safety position. I think that's the one that really going in is going to be who's starting. Because there's it's not like there's a guy there that somebody's going to be challenging him for the job. I mean, it's vacant, and you've got a lot of guys out there that want to be a starter in the NFL.
Yeah, I think, you know, you would think that because of where Collins was drafted and because Burhey's been here for a year, those two guys have a leg up, but nothing is handed to anybody. You know, they are going to have to prove during training camp that they deserve to be the guys full-time. And in addition to the safety spot, which we've talked about for a long time, I'm still going back to the offensive line because I need to figure out how these five guys are going to get it done against the Cowboys. And if, in fact, these are the five guys who are going to be playing against Dallas opening night. I'm not so sure that's going to happen. I still think there's going to be an addition to this mix at some point. But we're going to have to watch these guys on a daily basis.
So for me, it's safety. For you, it's offensive line?
Yeah, and we'll both be watching Cruz and Beckham. You know that.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't personally think there's a competition there per
no,
se.
Just see how they look.
I think it's more so, you know, how is, you know, once, as I said, once the physicality starts with the pads going on,
yeah,
what does Victor Cruz bring to the program? This is from Eli Taylor, wants to know, has the Giants run defense gotten better with all the men that they have, and of course without JPP there? How do you feel that their run defense is going to do?
Well, first things first, is John Beeson going to give them 16 games? Anita, I don't know the answer to that, but that's a big part of that equation. Second part of that equation, the development of the front line with Kendrick Ellis coming over from the Jets. He's a strong, strong plugger of a man, and he should definitely help that rush defense. And the third part of that equation, quite frankly, is Devon Kennard, who in his second year as a linebacker here should continue to develop. He's going to have a bigger role in this defense, and I expect he's going to be an upgrade. The other guys are kind of on the back burner, but they could help too. JT Thomas with his mobility, and don't forget, whoever's that strong safety, whether it's Landon Collins, who we think it'll be, he'll be playing a lot in the box. He's going to be part of that too. So, yeah, I think that rush defense is going to be better. In fact, it could be a whole lot better if all those guys answer the question properly. Now, if they don't, they're going to have some work to do.
This is from Andre. Who do you guys see winning the starting running back spot? Well, I don't think there's a question there. I think it's Rashad Jennings' job.
Yeah.
But obviously you've got Shane Vereen, who brings in a totally different skill set, especially in the passing attack, and you've got Andre Williams coming into his second year that I think he's your most powerful rusher, especially in the red zone. So I think that it's kind of a nice three-headed monster, but I think first down and 10, start of a series, I think we're going to see Rashad Jennings in there more times than not, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. And the three-headed running back, the running back by committee, is really the way they'd love to be able to go, provided all three of the guys stay healthy enough to do it.
Right. And this is from Reese. This is great. In Reese, we trust.
Love it.
Yeah, this is a Twitter handle. who do you think will be the second defensive captain with John Beeson now that Antrel Roll is gone? Ooh. You tell me who you think it is. I'll tell you who I think.
Well, Jameel McClain would be a great candidate, but I don't see him starting.
Right.
You know, I really don't. I wouldn't be shocked if it's Prince.
Prince? Or how about Colin Jenkins?
Not a bad
Colin
choice
Jenkins
either.
Let me tell you something. Colin Jenkins is a leader in that locker room.
Another one of those good guys.
A lot of guys really look up to him in that locker room. But I'm with you. I'd say Prince. I'd say Prince and John, for sure.
Yeah.
201-939-4513. We're going to continue with your calls. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Andrew on line 3. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Great.
Hi.
Hi. Paul, I want to see if I can jump in your head for a second.
Uh-oh, that could be dangerous, Andrew.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Really, really, really dangerous.
I know you're real high on, what's his name, Davis, the new rookie wideout special teamer, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you don't think you'll sneak him onto the practice squad, so that means that we have Beckham, Cruz, Randall, Harris is going to make the team. We'll say that the rookie would be the 6. I think the leading candidates for the 5 would then be Preston Parker and Corey Washington. And only one of them will be able to make the team because of numbers. Now, I know you're big on special teams, but you got Harris and Davis in this analogy. Who do you think, without seeing practice, will win the number 5 spot, Parker or Washington?
And that's a great question. And you know why? Because that's like comparing apples and oranges. Because Preston Parker has a proven resume. He's tough over the middle, and he plays special teams. On the other side of the coin, Corey Washington is a very big target. He's very athletic, has proven during the course of this offseason that he can step up and become a very valuable deep threat in this offense. But not so great on special teams, at least from what we saw last year as a rookie, and may not necessarily be great over the middle. So each one of those guys brings a different skill set to the table. Now, you answered your own question in a way because you told me about how the Giants already have guys like Harris and Davis on the wide receiver core who play specials. That says to me I could probably afford to shelve Parker and keep Washington because Parker's going to be another specials guy, and I think I probably have enough between the other two. So I think I'm going to go with the upside and take the more dynamic offensive threat in Corey Washington. But if he doesn't earn it during training camp, Preston Parker is tough enough and feisty enough to steal that spot from him. How's that for an answer?
I think that's a great answer. I completely agree. I liked Parker a lot. I was always part. I loved what Washington did in the preseason. And I did like Parker, but I forget which game it was. I know he had that terrible game where he had like 7 drops in the middle of the season last year.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that kind of shook me from him. And I think the reason why I like Washington, it's more of an unknown. Washington could be great, where even though I like Parker, you know what you're getting. But real quick, before I get off the line, I wanted to know if you guys could comment on the rumors of OC getting a one-day contract and why the Giants would be opposed to doing that.
Thank you for your phone call, by the way.
Opposed? Thanks. Why would they be opposed?
I don't think they'd be opposed.
Yeah. And, you know, OC, and by the way, this goes back to your ESPN connection. OC had a couple of dates with ESPN earlier during the offseason.
I was up in Bristol while he was there.
He's good.
Oh, he's excellent.
You know?
Yeah.
When he decides to hang up the cleats, if this is in fact what's going to happen, he's got a microphone waiting for him.
Oh, absolutely.
He's really good.
Yeah, and I think there'll be a few networks that will be trying to reach out to him. That's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I just want to let you folks know, Wednesday, the 5th, that's not this week, but next Wednesday coming up is the first full padded practice. And people should know that because when they're in shirts and shorts, the practices are a lot lighter. There's a lot less to see. Anita knows how pumped up I get when they're in the whole full gear. That means there's cracking and hitting going on. And you get to see a little bit more, especially in the trenches. Wednesday coming up is the first full padded practice.
Okay. And that will be open to the public?
Yes.
Right. All right. 201-939-4513. We're going to continue with your calls. Please bring them on. Let's go to Mike calling in from Florida. Mike, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
Yeah, okay. I'm fine. Yes, I'm having Gilfield right now. And I was with Jason earlier this morning. And I mean, like, the hand is fine, though. I mean, I don't know people saying that he's not going to be able to play this year or anything like that. But I don't see it like that, though. He's going to be okay. And he said that, he will, he will report and everything. But I don't know why people speculating saying that he's not going to. He's not gonna make it.
Mike, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Nobody's saying that JPP's not going to make it. There's just so many question marks. If you're saying that you were with Jason Pierre-Paul this morning, you've got more information than a gazillion people in the media who are dying to at least be in his presence so that they know what's going on with his hand. So, nobody's saying that JPP is not going to come back. It's just nobody has a good idea in regard to the timetable because he's not meeting with anyone. He's not talking with anyone. He's not, there's nothing to know.
I get a better chance of having lunch with the president right now than anybody does of getting information on the player.
And let me say this. JPP is a really great guy. I am rooting for him. I am cheering for him. I would love to see him come back and be... the JPP of old. We just don't know. So don't think for a second, like all of us here at the Giants facility, everybody's wanting the best. Everybody wants him here. They want him healthy. They want him to suit up. There is optimism out there. There is not negativity. It's just that there is so much, when there's so much unknown, it's hard to really to be optimistic because there's so much to not that you don't know.
Make it clear, everybody here is rooting for him.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Absolutely. Let's go to Christian in New York. Christian, welcome in.
Hey, well, first of all, I've been waiting for that Jeremy Miles signing for about 2 months now, and I was just so excited when it happened. He really is a worthy starter in this league on many teams. And he's actually quite versatile, too. He seemed to grade out pretty well on PFF. And, I want to make the bold prediction that he's the starting free safety for the year.
Well, I'll tell you what. He can help out on special teams, even if he doesn't win one of the safety jobs. He's a veteran coming over from the Ravens, knows something about Spags' system because, Spagnuolo was there last year. So not a bad addition. And he'll get a chance to compete for a reserve spot just like everybody else. And if he wins something better than that, more power to him.
Well, I see a good chance of it just because he had very decent play last year. But also, I wanted to mention how Jonathan Casillas has been behind some really good linebackers on other teams. So he might not have necessarily had a starting job staring him in the face for, competition, but... I could really see him coming in and playing well.
Interesting you mention him, and thank you so much for the call. You know why, Anita? Because he's a very, very good special teams player. And again, specials seems to be coming up a lot in this show from the time we had Dominic Hixon on all throughout the 60 minutes. Special teams, a much bigger part to the Giants' potential resurgence than I think people want to admit. But I think they're going to be dramatically better on special teams this year. Casillas is one of the reasons why. And they went out and targeted him in free agency because of that reason, in addition to the fact that they believe he can play in the sub-package. Now, is there a chance that he's more than maybe a dime or a nickel? Maybe. A lot of that's going to depend on the health of Beeson, the development of Kennard. Does JT Thomas prove that he can be a full-time three-down linebacker? These are things that are going to have to manifest themselves to see where Casillas fits.
I'm going to put you on the hot seat here. You're talking about how special teams has improved. Average starting line of possession for the team. How much has it improved? Do you see the Giants getting another 10 yards?
I do.
You do?
I think...
That's huge.
I think, what I noticed over the last 2 years, Anita, if you were to do a diagnostic workup, you would find out that the playoff teams in this league the last couple of years...
They're starting like at the 40, 45-yard line
They average a good 8 to 10 yards in field position better off than the Giants have.
Yep.
And Tom Coughlin knows this. Oh, boy, does he know this. It's like a boil on the side of his neck. And he really, really wants to get that up to speed. And I think the Giants have done enough in this offseason to make that happen.
It's a pretty gross visualization right there, a boil on the side.
I just know that it galls him. It does gall him.
Why'd you have to go there, though, Paul?
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, and we didn't eat lunch yet, did we?
No. I don't know if I'm hungry now. Let's go to Shane, who sent us a tweet, hashtag Giants chat. I think the Giants still need more depth at the cornerback position after Prince and DRC. And I think he's on to something because health, obviously, an issue with those two guys. Do you think that they'll bring anyone else in?
I do think it's possible that a veteran could pop free in the secondary from some other team. And, you know, some guys are already popping free at different positions this week. Is it possible? Sure. Do the Giants know what they have at the nickel corner? No. Steve Spagnuolo told us during minicamp, Anita, that they're going to give everybody a chance to play nickel corner out here in August. Everyone's going to get a shot because he needs to find out something about each one of these players before trying to commit to one of them. But it was 2 years ago before he got hurt that Tremaine McBride showed he could play it. So he might have a little bit of a leg up, but Spags is trying to go in with a clean slate to give everybody a fair shot.
Felipe tweeted us, wants to know, what do you think about Alphonso Dinard, apparently, who's just been released from the Cardinals?
I did not know he was, but again, that's a situation where the Giants are not afraid to kick anybody's tires, make the exploratory phone calls, look at their scouting reports, not only from the pro staff, but also from the collegiate staff, to see what kind of history they have on the player. They'll also check on the medical history of the player. Those things are done upstairs before anybody picks up the phone and says to some agent, hey, we'd like to bring a guy in for a look-see. I'm sure they've done their due diligence.
That was your mouse. That wasn't your phone. Your phone is next
to...
Yeah, so you picked up the wrong device.
I did, didn't I?
Okay.
Thank you.
Easy wants to know, Anita and Paul, do you know when the team will practice in shoulder pads? Paul just told you a second ago. Maybe you're just tuning in now. But it is?
Wednesday. Wednesday's the first full padded practice. So make your arrangements now. Tickets are free.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Abdul on line one, calling in from Minnesota. Abdul, welcome.
Hey, guys. First of all, Anita, I might need your fantasy help. I'm picking seventh in a 12-man league.
Oh, wow.
And do you have a fan? Yeah, I know. So I won it last year, so I get to pay back this year.
So then maybe you don't need my help at all if you won it last year.
No, I got lucky. I picked up Odell Beckham, and he helped me win the last six games straight. So,
the only
anyway,
reason you won is because she wasn't in the league. I mean, come clean.
Exactly.
Come clean.
Stop. Anyway.
But, do you have a fantasy show or something, or not? Or you just kind of play, you know, for your own fun?
I'm working on that. I will make the announcement on my Twitter site once I finalize all the hats that I'm going to be wearing for this coming football season. But yes, I will have some type of fantasy football platform somewhere. It's still in the works. But I will make that announcement as soon as it's confirmed.
Well, that's good to hear, and good luck with getting all your ducks in order.
Thank you.
My question or slash statement is about JPP. I know there's no update, but I was happy to hear that he has reached out to some of the Giants organization, that he sent a text to the owner and to his defensive coach. But I was wondering, with his kind of standoffishness slash lack of respect for the organization, do you think it's kind of a really helped his long-term future with the Giants, or do you think it's just a business decision that they won't take it personally and let us move on, depending on how he plays?
I will say this: I don't think it's disrespect.
Okay.
I think JPP is I think JPP is listening to his camp. And I think he's getting some advice from his camp, and some would probably feel that it's not really the best advice. So I don't think this is all just JPP. I think JPP does respect the organization. I think he does respect Mara and Tom Coughlin. I personally think he's getting some bad advice.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything the Giants realize that and they won't hold it against him?
I'm sure the Giants are disappointed, is the statements that you've heard from Mara and Coach Tom Coughlin, which, by the way, a good friend of mine, Jenny Vrentis, who writes for SI under that Monday Morning Quarterback, she sat down, had a one-on-one with Tom Coughlin, and that article came out today, and it's excellent. I highly recommend everybody logs on to SI.com and check out that article, because he was very, very open and very frank and very revealing with her in that interview. It's a really cool side of head coach Tom Coughlin to read.
I have one more kind of question. I called a few weeks ago, and I was hoping that JPP would assign a tender to come into the offseason program so he could learn the new defense. And you guys said it's not a big deal because, you know, most people don't sign it because they don't want to come in and practice. Have you guys changed your opinion on that? That you think that maybe it might help people to sign their tenders earlier to come in, especially when a new defense is being put in? Wait for the last second to sign it?
Abdul, thank you for the phone call. Really appreciate that you watch from Minnesota. Yeah. JPP's situation is very different because the reason that JPP is not signing the tender is because he doesn't want to start the season on the non-injury perform list, because if he does and he's not ready to go week one, then he can't play for 6 weeks. And he's probably hoping and praying that he can get on the field before 6 weeks. So that's the method to his madness and their camp as to why they're not signing the tender. So, you know, this is a very unique situation. I can't say that what JPP is doing is setting a precedent for anyone moving forward in the NFL.
I have never seen anything like this ever in all my years of covering the league. So it's new territory.
Let's go to Wayne in Pennsylvania, line 3. Wayne, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, Anita. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
I'm a longtime fan, a first-time caller, and I love your show.
Welcome, cool. Welcome.
Hey, I just had a question. Paul, you had a conversation with, in an earlier show this week with John. And you mentioned that you felt strongly that the Giants are going to bring in another offensive lineman, likely a tackle. And I know they're taking a look at Long again. And, do you have any idea who, what teams might have an overabundance of tackles and might have to let one go during training camp?
You know, here's the thing. You never know during this particular month as you go through camp which veteran is going to fall out of favor with which coach or which organization, which young player is going to develop on a certain team that suddenly he skips somebody on the depth chart and pushes a guy out. It's really, really hard. It's a lot easier in the spring to figure that out because you look at the salary cap, you look at the guys making certain amounts of money, you say, well, I think this team probably can't afford to keep this guy. Or this guy, you know, his contract is due for a big boost and incentive clause. Those guys are probably going to get put on the street. You can maybe project at that point. Right now, it's a lot harder to do. But remember, there are two cuts, the 75 and the 53 before opening day. And a whole lot of players are going to be out on the street. I'm just going to say to you, it's my gut feeling right now that somebody new along the offensive line is going to wind up on this roster before they open up against the Cowboys. That's just my gut feeling. And I'm not going to tell you that I know who it's going to be, but I think it'll be somebody.
Okay, now do you think it'll be somebody of a starting caliber or more of a backup?
Well, that all depends on the pool of guys that get cut, or for that matter, a free agent who's sitting out there. I just think that if the Giants are going to keep 9 offensive linemen, and that's the number I'm going with, I think they keep 9. They might keep 10, but I think they'll keep 9. I'm just telling you, I think one of those guys is not here today. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
All right?
Sounds good.
Be good.
That's exciting. All right. All right. Thank you. Have a good day, you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. First time, long time. I love that. Here's a tweet from Big Blue United. What are your expectations for Jay Bromley this season?
Boy,
small sample size. I think a lot of Giants fans are really curious.
You know, I will go back to his college cut-ups, and he showed me that he can be a very effective penetrator. He can be very athletic for his size. He also seems to be a rather astute player who, by the way, and we've said this before during the show, the guys who have been here the most during the offseason, Kerry Wynn, Jay Bromley, Ryan Nassib, and Marcus Coon's also been here quite a bit as well. Those guys have worked their butts off since the season ended back in January. And so if that has anything to do with their ability to improve, Jay Bromley's going to work his way into this rotation. But I need to see it on the practice field before I express any confidence in that answer.
You know, it's interesting you bring up Marcus Coon, because somebody had asked me the other day, would Marcus Coon ever switch lines and go from defense to offense? And I remember last year there was some chatter about it. Obviously, he didn't even practice on the offensive line. But, is that even a possibility?
I think that ship has sailed.
Okay.
You know, but
just
I will
curious.
Tell you this.
Just curious.
He's gained something like 10 to 12 pounds in terms of beef upstairs.
He's ridiculous.
He's wide.
Yeah. He looks like he should be in, like, some, like, superhero
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like Fantastic Four or something like that. Play that rock guy.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's clobbering time.
What is that? Is that a line from the movie?
Ben Grimm.
Wow. Let's go to line four. Trey in Atlanta. Welcome in.
Hi, this is Trey. What's going on, Nita? AP, how you going?
Hi.
Long time no speak to. Hey, quick question. It's pretty good that the other caller called because I have an answer. The Indianapolis Colts just let go one of their veteran.
Chiralis.
Right now visiting with he's visiting with Detroit.
Yeah, Gazdo Chiralis. I know of him. Yes. He started at right tackle for the Colts the past two seasons, has battled groin, shoulder, and knee injuries, has had trouble against speed rushers, but he has a mean streak. He blocks pretty well for the run, and he's a veteran who has started in this league now for the better part of three seasons. That's the scouting report on him. He's out there. I'm sure the Giants have done due diligence. At the moment, I don't know anything about where else he's going to go after his visit to the Lions today.
Okay. You know, very optimistic. You know, we have a very large Giants continuing down here in Atlanta. You know, a few of us called, several fan clubs. So, you know, we're looking at everything that's going on. Some of us are taking trips up there for camp. But you two keep it up. Same thing with Lance and John.
Well, yeah,
you guys are eyes and ears up there that bring the news down here for us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for tuning in each and every day. Really do appreciate it, Trey. Let's go to line two. Rocky. You're up.
Hey, Mr. Nader. Hey, B-Dot.
Hi.
Hey, I've got a couple questions here. One with the signings of Josh Gordy and Jeremy Miles. I think we're pretty good there back at safety and with the lack of depth at corner, which I do think Mike Harris has played pretty well. Has there been any chatter about Bennett Jackson going back to corner?
No, right now they're trying to see what he can do about competing for a safety spot. But, you know, coming off of the microfracture surgery, he's moving around very well. You know, much like Victor Cruz, Anita, this is a guy coming back off of a serious leg injury who, to this point during the course of the spring, has looked terrific in terms of his mobility and his athleticism. Now, that is in shirts and shorts. The problem is, we haven't seen these guys in pads. We haven't seen them how to put stress or power or cutting or strength in terms of, you know, what they're going to have to do once they get into a game. We're going to see how that knee holds up during the course of August. If it does, and he shows that he still has the level of athleticism he came into this league with when he came out of Notre Dame, I mean, that bodes well for him making the 53. And Anita, we know he knows corner, and they're trying to teach him safety now. That could be a valuable tool for him to be able to swing and swap, provided he proves he physically can handle it.
Yeah, and I was talking to Coach Merritt the other day about when Antrell Roll had to make the switch from corner to safety.
Yeah.
And he said it really takes a very special, unique player mentally and physically to make that switch. It's not as easy as most people think.
No, and the good news is, though, coming out of college, he does have the quickness, at least he did before the knee injury. He also seems to have the physicality. Looks like he's strong enough. His frame is strong enough to handle the safety spot, which is why they thought he could convert. And if you talk to him, very astute football guy. Seems very willing to learn. Really on top of his X's and O's. So I think the Giants think he has a chance to be a very versatile tool on this team, but he's got to go out and earn it.
Rocky, anything else before we let you go?
One more question, please. I know they have brought Jake Long back for a second visit. Is he still in town, or did he leave town already?
No, I believe he's headed to the Broncos for a visit over there today.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you for tuning in and watching every single day here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Last tweet I want to throw your way. This
sure.
is from Will. Wants to know, is the PUP players announced today?
Well, yeah, because what happens is once you get out on the practice field with your team during camp, you cannot go to the PUP list, which is why if you noticed yesterday when some teams already started to report, you were seeing names kind of trickle out. That, oh, so-and-so's PUP, and so-and-so's PUP, and this guy's PUP. They can't get out on the field with their teammates, because once they do, they cannot go PUP. So, great news, Anita. If we see Victor Cruz out there doing anything with his teammates, guess what? that eliminates him from going to PUP. And that would be the next big hurdle in his comeback.
Right.
So
tomorrow's a big day.
Today's a big day. He's got to be, if he's out there with his teammates today and he's actually doing stuff, awesome news. And even better if tomorrow he's actually running routes, because Coach Coughlin said, we don't think he's going to go PUP. That was back at minicamp. But we probably are going to keep him on a limited basis during the camp because we don't really want to push him.
Fantastic. Good stuff today, Paul.
It's been fun.
Fun show.
Really.
This hour has really flown by. So just to kind of bring you up to speed on what's going to happen here, Tom Coughlin will make himself available to the media later on this afternoon around 4 o'clock. You said Mara as well.
Yep.
And some players.
Some players, too. And then after they get done with the conditioning drills, they'll talk to us. And then tomorrow is the actual first practice of training camp.
And you and John Schmelk will be hosting Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow, a different time throughout, of course, training camp. That'll be at 12:30 p.m. The show's going to be 30 minutes later than it was today.
Right.
And you'll have all that information.
Yep.
And also really exciting stuff that you guys are going to be hosting on Saturday and Sunday as well.
Yeah, 12:30 both days on Saturday and Sunday, special weekend kickoff training camp edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. First time we've ever done that since this show was created a few years ago. So we're really excited about that. And again, folks, bottom line, go to Giants.com and each and every day, especially on days when there's a threat of rain, because when it does rain, coach has to move practice inside the facility and then you can't watch. But otherwise, you're allowed to come out here, sit in the bleachers outside the fence. No tickets are necessary. It's free. Giants.com will also have a schedule of people who are going to be signing autographs every day.
Right.
There'll be positions broken down each day as to who's going to be available. In addition, the Giants are bringing back a bunch of their legends. Retired players who played on some of the teams in years past. They'll also be coming out to sign autographs for the fans. So it's a great time. I am so pumped.
I could feel it. I could feel it.
Let's go.
All right. Everybody, I hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon. And again, quick reminder, Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. right here on Giants.com.
All right, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.